Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Joe Cipriano, who is the Director of Youth Ministry at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church. How are you, Joe?
Good, Margaret. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to have you here. We have had a youth minister in the past, but it's always good to give our attention to the youth. So thank you for being with us today.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate being able to be here.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself, maybe how you got involved in youth ministry, let the audience get to know you a bit better?
Yeah, well, like you said, my name's Joe Cipriano. I'm originally actually from a place called Schenectady, New York, which is a far way away from Corpus Christi, Texas. But I grew up and I didn't really have a relationship with the Lord as a child. And it was through a youth ministry program that I really came to know the Lord. And so it was awesome because even in high school, I found myself really desiring to bring other people to know the Lord. And I grew this passion. And so after a few years of being in youth group and trying to get all my friends to come and trying to get as many people involved with the Lord as possible, I felt like the Lord was calling me to do ministry for a living. And so I ended up going out to Franciscan University of Steubenville and studying theology and catechetics with a concentration in youth ministry. Really just to be formed, because I knew I had the passion for it, but I knew that I didn't have all the understanding I needed or really the discipline or anything else to be able to really share the Lord to my fullest potential. And so I went out and I studied it. And as I graduated, I moved on and I was looking for a place to do ministry. And God called me to Kentucky, which was interesting because I didn't know anybody in Kentucky and I'd never been to Kentucky and could barely tell you where it was on a map. And so so when I landed up moving there, it was amazing. And I really learned what it was to do ministry, because I think there's a difference between what I saw as a high school kid doing retreats and the easy part of ministry and then living it every single day and growing with teens. And so, you know, I was there for about 3 years and decided to take a few months off from ministry. And so I moved down to Texas to do construction work, to take some time away and be relaxed. And, you know, my first day down here, I got to talk to the youth minister at Most Precious Blood just randomly. And he kind of asked me to come aboard. And it took a few months and I still took some time off, but ended up taking the position. It's good the heat doesn't bother me anymore. And but yeah, I mean, that's why I'm here. That's why I do youth ministry. And yeah, I love it. I love being able to be a part of people's lives like that.
So. Well, I can definitely relate. It was through the youth ministry at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Corpus Christi that I got very interested in studying the Bible, and my youth minister was essential in me continuing my studies in theology. So I can relate to your story. Mm. But can you share with us exactly what youth ministry is?
Yeah, and that's such a huge question, because I get that all the time. People will come up to me and they'll be like, "So what do you actually do?" And I'll be like, you know, and it's hard to give a one-word answer. So I'll be like, "I guess I just like hang out with kids, try to bring them to the Lord." And they're like, "And you get paid for that?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's my job." And there's more to that, you know. So, I mean, it's definitely a much wider spectrum than you'd think. It's really like running a small business. You know, you coordinate all the volunteers and you know, for us, we have a couple other youth ministers that work with me at the parish. And so we coordinate with them and really we just do whatever we can to create an environment where teens can know the Lord. And so whether that's social activities or whether that's spiritual activities and, you know, it's beautiful. And like, as you read, you know, documents like Renewing the Vision that call you to, you know, ministry, comprehensive ministry, it calls you to not just do fun activities or not just do spiritual activities. They really want you to do all of that stuff, and it needs to have service and it needs to have all these aspects. So as a youth minister, we really try to balance that and to give the kids as many different opportunities to come to know the Lord and not give it in just one view, but give them a broader view of what it means to be a Catholic, because as you know, it incorporates your entire life. And so we want to reflect that. We want them to have fun and enjoy themselves and have good friends and have good social activities, but we also want to teach them to serve and teach them to pray and all those other things. And so it's kind of a huge thing, to be honest, but really our goal simply is just to help teens know the Lord. And so we do whatever we can to kind of put them in a situation where they can make a response to the Lord. And so that's what we do. Yeah.
So let me ask you, you did mention the document Renewing the Vision. What are some of the things that the U.S. bishops are calling us to when we're called to focus on youth?
Yeah, that's a great thing. I think the biggest thing, and especially what I've seen the most successful trend in youth ministry and what the documents are calling us to, is discipleship. You know, I think we've moved over the years from the idea of religious education and the idea that we need to teach people about Jesus, when the reality is the documents call us to teach the person of Christ, to teach Jesus, to introduce people to Jesus Christ. And so the best way to do that is teach them how to be disciples. So for us, practically, that would be a lot of our leadership things, a lot of the things that we do to help the teens not only incorporate the Lord into their own lives, but bring it to other people. We started a program called Young Apostles, which has turned out to be maybe the most successful thing we've done in youth ministry. And really what it is they go through about a five-week induction process or initiation process where they go through training, where they go through on how to live out different virtues, and they're memorizing scripture. And it's amazing to see when you challenge teens what they live up to, because I think one of the difficulties we have in religious education is we reduce it and we don't expect much out of them. But when you expect great things out of them, they always rise up. And I mean, I think of all my teens and the way that they follow the Lord, and it always calls me to holiness, because I'll see them pray and I'll see them, you know, for a while, one of their challenges was to bring their Bible with them to school. And that way, if they wanted to sit down and pray, they could. And so they would carry it with them. They wouldn't even put it in their backpack. They would carry it and they'd have it out on their desk during class. And they would really be bold with showing their faith. We did this other thing. We called it Scripture Wars, where I created a text message group. And whenever they read the Bible and the scripture stood out, they would text it to the entire group. Well, there were about 20 kids that were in this group in our leadership program. And after about a week, I had to get rid of the group because I was getting, literally in an hour, I'd get 100 text messages.
Oh,
and
wow.
That was more than my phone could handle. So we had to get rid of it. But it's amazing to see that when you give them an opportunity to use their enthusiasm and their passion to follow the Lord, they will. And so the documents are really brilliant in calling us to that and saying that we're not calling them to live just a good life or just be nice. And I think that sometimes we reduce the gospel to that, but the gospel is so much more. And so when we challenge them to discipleship, when we challenge them to go out and to share God with other people, they respond. And I think the documents really ask us to do that. I mean, it's funny because as you read the documents too, they call you to everything. You know, so you'll read it and they'll be like, it needs to be comprehensive and it needs to be systematic. And you're like, okay, well, all right. And it almost exhausts you because you're like, crud, I can't do all of that stuff, you know, perfectly. Mm-hmm. And so it's challenging, but it's good, because the reality is we can always grow in one area. And if we ever get stuck in just, we know the perfect way to do ministry and we don't keep growing and changing and adapting, then we're never going to be successful and we're never really going to reach teens. So, I mean, there's a thousand things we could talk about with the documents.
Well, you sound very excited, and I would be, I would enjoy having you as a youth minister, seeing your enthusiasm and your passion for teaching about the Lord. But let me ask you, why is it important that our youth have youth ministers? What are some of the things that our youth going through on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, and it's, you know, and not to get too negative, but it is really sad to see what teens have to deal with, you know. I think all generations have dealt with this, but I think this generation specifically deals with really being alone. Whether it's having the media raise our children, or whether it's having broken homes, which certainly our children do, there's a sense of loneliness. And so the first thing that I think we do, which is just really fundamental to who they are as people, is we put them in an environment where they're loved. Because, I mean, it really is a crisis of love in our nation, in our culture right now. And so if they're not feeling loved, if they don't know they're loved, and if they're not affirmed, telling them that Jesus loves them, they're not going to believe it. And so they first need to know that we love them. And so, you know, John Bosco actually said, if they know that you love them, they'll follow you anywhere. And so for all the volunteers, for all the youth ministers at our parish, our first aim is that when they walk in the door, we love them and we're as hospitable as possible so that they know that when they walk in the door, they're loved. And I mean, granted, there's a thousand other things in the culture that are negative, but if we can meet them on that level where we're loving them in a personal way, then we break through all those negative communications that they get, or the lack of being able to be personable with people, or we break through even the lack of love maybe they experience at home. And so, granted, it's still difficult, but that first step of showing them love is what's really going to transform the way that they see themselves and the way that they relate to the Lord. And so, it's a simple answer, but it's the essence of really what we need to do, especially in this culture.
This is an exciting conversation. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
In celebration of Catholic Schools Week, Blessed John Paul II High School invites you to their open house on Wednesday, February 5th at 6 p.m. All prospective students and parents should take this opportunity to visit Blessed John Paul II High School. Tour the campus, pick up a registration packet, meet the faculty and other parents and current students, have your questions answered, enjoy refreshments and door prizes, and in short, find out what Blessed John Paul II High School is all about. To learn more, call 855-5744 and visit jpiihighschool.org and plan now to visit the school at 3036 Saratoga Boulevard on Wednesday, February 5th. It's all there for you to see.
Thanks for staying with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest, Joe Cipriano, who is the Director of Youth Ministry at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church. Joe, again, it's a pleasure speaking with you. And before the break, we talked about what it means to be a youth minister. We ended with the crisis of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I recently heard the same thing, that we struggle with being alone. Mm-hmm. You also talked about relationships and hospitality. Our kids are finding love in all the wrong places, and mm-hmm. they're finding it on Facebook, they're finding it online, they're finding it on the TV screen, mm-hmm. and they really need to find it with that person that's standing right in front of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you touched upon that. Mm-hmm. And it's good that that relational ministry is happening in our mm-hmm. parishes. Can you tell me a little bit about how your program is structured? What do you do in your youth ministry program?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's actually amazing. You know, we've grown so much over the past couple years. I was originally hired actually to start a middle school program at our parish because we had been doing ministry, high school ministry at the parish for 10 years. And I'm sure they did stuff before that, but youth ministry style ministry in the parish for the past 10 years. And it's amazing because you've seen, and I see the results all the time of adults that come back and were transformed by the program that was there. And Jeremy, the youth minister there before me, did such an amazing job forming people. And so I know that Father Bob Dunn, our pastor, he was looking for us to extend that to the middle school program because he saw how successful it was with the high school. And it's actually really brilliant of him to extend it to the middle school because more and more we see that by the time they get to high school, they've already made a lot of decisions. They've already made a lot of negative decisions. They've already made decisions on how they're going to spend their time. They've already found their group of friends. They've already... And so the idea of, well, we'll just pull them in when it gets to high school, it is really false, because by the time they get through middle school, they've already made a lot of their life decisions, whether it's how they're going to spend time in sports or activities or things like that. So so we extended our program to middle school, which meets every Sunday, and we're actually moving our time to 2 o'clock, so it's going to meet from 2 to 4 each Sunday. And the way that we structure our meetings is off of the Life Teen Model, which is an international youth ministry organization that they model the way they do youth ministry actually off the Mass. And it's broken down like this. There's a 4-part structure that's called gather, proclaim, break, and send. And it's modeled how when you come to Mass, we all gather together. Then they proclaim the Word of God. Then we break the bread in the Eucharist, and then they send us off with the final blessing and telling us to go live our faith. And so we structure all of our youth group programs, our high school and our middle school, like that. Now, the gather, the beginning part, can look a thousand different ways. For a lot of times, that's games or activities or, you know, the type of thing to get them invest. Because when you walk in the door, if the first thing that happens is somebody talks to you for 20 minutes, that's not really exciting and it's not really engaging. So our first goal is to engage them, to get them to want to be there, to enjoy being there. That's through hospitality. That's through really fun games. It's through getting them to spend time with their friends and interact and enjoy themselves. And so so that's always fun. We always do different activities with that. You know, the second step is proclaim, and that's where we give really a sound Catholic teaching. And we keep on changing the way we do curriculum and trying to adapt it and make it better for the teens. But really what we want to do is give them a foundation to build their faith. And so we start from the very beginning, from the existence of God, and then to the Trinity, and then to Jesus Christ, and to the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And we try to teach in such a way that they have that foundation of understanding. And so so the teaching, we normally keep it to 20 to 40 minutes, which is long for teenagers, but if you incorporate different things in it, if you have maybe a video clip in there or a song or something like that, you can get them to do that. But, you know, it's still a long time, so you have to be careful. But we give them a teaching, and then when we move into the break, a lot of times it's small group, but or it's something like that, or an activity where they can write things down. And that idea is that they process what they just learned. So it's kind of like we prepare them to learn the message, then we give them the message, and then we help them to process the message. And anybody who's done education stuff knows that statistic, that like as you remember a certain number of what you hear, and you remember a certain number of what you say, and you remember a certain number of what you read, and all these different things. But the one that has the highest percentage is you remember a large amount of what you teach to others. And so if they're able to articulate that to people in their small groups, to the adults, to give questions, they're more likely to remember it. And then the final step is send, which is the challenge, because every true, authentic encounter with Christ leads you to a change, and it leads you to a growth. And so we try to give them something simple and something concrete for them to grow in changing their lives. And that way, one, they can take it with them so they remember it. But if you give them a simple challenge, whether that's a card, you know, maybe we're doing something on the Mass, and we give them a card, five things they're going to do every Sunday, and they fill in a couple of things, and it's, I'm going to read the readings, or I'm going to, you know, say thank you to my mom before I get in church, or whatever it is that they choose to do to make Sunday more the Lord's Day, and to prepare for the Mass. And then they take it and they go home and they tape it up on their wall or on their bathroom mirror, whatever it is. It helps them take the message home, so we're not just wasting our breath saying things, and it's not just church isn't just something that you do in a couple minutes, but, you know, God wants to be a part of every moment of your life. And so when we use the send, we try to help them to incorporate it into what they do. So, I mean, that's the way we structure our high school and our middle school. And, you know, it gets crazy. This past year, we were averaging like 160 kids at our high school program.
Oh, wow.
And so it's interesting to try to work with a group that size, and to try to get them all to feel loved and engaged. And really the best thing that we do at our parish is we have adults that are on fire for the faith. And we have adults that really love the Lord. And so we have just great adults that are small group leaders that really build relationships with the 8 to 10 people at their table. And so it really is a team thing. And it's actually funny you asked me at the beginning what my title was in youth ministry. And we've kind of moved in the church from calling everybody youth ministers to calling them coordinators of youth ministry or directors of youth ministry, because the idea is the person who's normally on staff isn't the one who does the ministry. Because to ask one or two people to minister to 170 people is not realistic if you want to do real good relational ministry. And so we end up coordinating other people doing the real daily ministry of it. And so we're training people and forming them so that they feel loved and they can go out and they can show the love to the teens. And that's the reality too, is the ministry that we do at Most Precious Blood isn't It isn't my ministry, and it isn't the staff's ministry. It's the people, the parish, that are really doing the ministry. And that's the best part, because the reality is Jeremy was here before I was. And when I came in, those adults are still here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teens aren't leaving because, oh no, my youth minister left me and I don't know anything else. They're staying because they're like, oh, well, I know he gave the talks, but mm-hmm. the one that I knew and who knew my name is still here. And so that's the beautiful part, that we just coordinate, we direct what goes on.
Well, it seems as though there's a great investment. So then you're saying that the community has to have an investment in the youth mm-hmm. of their parish.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I worked at a parish in Kentucky before I came here. And it's amazing to see the difference, you know. And I really believe that Father Bob and Most Precious Blood has done such a good job with adult ministry, that it makes doing youth ministry easy. And, you know, the church actually teaches that the primary catechesis is adult catechesis, that first we need to form our adults and so that they can form their children. And it's funny because Father Bob just gave a homily on how the domestic church is the one that we need to feed the most, because if you're not being fed the faith at home, they're not going to live it in their life. And so, or it's never really going to take root. And so, it's really beautiful at the parish because we have that foundation to build on, and they're completely invested. But it's not just invested in youth ministry; they're invested in the ministry of the parish.
Parish life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you can't, you know. And I think a lot of times we fall into, and I've fallen into, we just need to invest in our youth, and eventually they'll grow up and take care of us. And the reality is, if we're only investing in our youth, when they get adults, they don't have any support and they'll fall away. And so we need to invest in everybody. And that's the difficult part, because it's a big job. But youth ministry only works when you're doing good adult ministry. And, I mean, you can always touch a few lives, but if you really want to make a change in a community, it has to be the whole community that's growing together. And so, I mean, I'm so blessed to be a part of the parish I'm in right now and what they do on a large scale for adults. I mean, whether it's the retreats that so many adults go on retreats at our parish, and so many of them are involved in Bible studies or Knights of Columbus or doing lay formation. We have a lay formation where we have all these teachers who have master's degrees in theology who are teaching, you know, 180 or however many people it is in our parish catechesis every week. And they're in a, you know, and it's not just our parish. I think it's the diocese in general. You see a lot of different parishes that have really good formation going on, adult formation and youth formation. And so it's a lot easier when everybody else is growing, because then we're just doing a small part. Because if you try to do youth ministry in a parish that isn't invested in holistic ministry or the whole parish, then you really have to start with the adults anyway. So you'll end up doing adult ministry instead. And so it's a lot to do, but it's a great thing that we're a part of.
Thank you so much, Joe. I pray that God continues to bless your ministry there at Most Precious Blood. Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Many people who have been through an earthquake will tell you that it is the most unsettling thing they have ever endured. Imagine, you're going about your daily life, working at your desk, preparing dinner, changing a diaper, or discussing family matters with one another. Suddenly the floor begins to heave up and down, drawers open and close by themselves, a window breaks, and pictures fall off the wall. This goes on for about a minute, and when it's over, you realize that you were sick to your stomach. Later, when you hear it was only a 4.5 on the Richter scale, you thank God that it was not more. Certain events in our lives have the capacity to leave us dazed and confused. An earthquake or other natural event, such as a hurricane or wildfire, may leave us unsure about life and questioning what we place importance on. Infidelity in marriage, the announcement that your spouse wants a divorce, or the serious illness of a child can turn our world upside down. The sudden death of a loved one may leave us angry at God, doubting His goodness. We even dare to ask how he could allow such a thing to happen. Any one of these events can disrupt and destroy the lives of even the strongest people we know, and that might mean us. When God tested Elijah, he told Elijah to leave the cave in which he was hiding. Elijah was hiding because he feared for his life. But when God told him to go stand on the mountain, he did so. We all know the story. There was a strong and violent wind, something like a hurricane, but God was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then a fire, and again God was not in the fire. It was in a tiny whispering sound, a sound most like silence, that Elijah encountered God. As we consider the many storms through which we pass in this life, we should also remember the calm after the storm. This calm comes from God. If you have any doubt of it, call to mind Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He wills the calm for our good, for us to reflect upon life and its meaning. The reality is that life will never return to the same way it was before the storm came. Something has changed. God allows the storms of our lives in order to get our attention, to get us to slow down and listen for Him in the tiny whispering sound, in the sounds of silence. Normalcy will return. It will just be a different normal, because we have been changed. The important thing for us to remember at these times is that God never abandons us, even while the storm is raging. He always remains faithful, waiting for us to turn back to Him, to seek His help. We often discover this truth when we hit the lowest point of hurt after the storm has overwhelmed us. He calls us to discover once again His mercy and forgiveness. He calls us to Himself in order to heal us and free us from whatever enslaves us and holds us back from authentic love. He longs for us to place our trust in Him and never be rocked by the storms of life. It is in His friendship that we find the strength for today. May you discover your sacred moments in times of turmoil, and may they always bring you the peace of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Joe Cipriano, Director of Youth Ministry at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church. If you would like more information about getting involved in your local youth ministry, please contact your parish office. Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.